one more day. Because there's nothing that said that I had to be here today. There's nothing that said that when I closed my eyes last night, that I would have to open them this morning. That my God is such a good God that He's given me one more day to get it right. Giving me one more day that was not promised to me. Giving me one more day.
Yes.
That I might sing praises unto His name. I don't know about you this morning, but I thank and praise God for just one more day. Amen. Because none of us know the hour, the minute, or the second when He may call your name. And so all that you're doing and all that you got to do, you better get a jump on it now, because none of us know. Amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise one more time. All right, I'm not going to belabor the hour. We're moving real good. I don't know why we're moving real good, but we're moving real good. And so with that being said, turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 6. And we'll begin at verse 19, and we'll read 19 to 24. Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 24. If we'll all be good enough to stand in the presence of the Lord, amen. Well, in about a couple of hours, folk will stand for the national anthem. They'll stand for the flag. They'll stand for their team, and they'll yell at the top of their lungs. Yeah. Amen. I don't know if our numbers are they look the way they look, if it's because folk getting ready for the game or because of the rain. Amen. But praise be unto God. We thank the saints for being in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. I know that there are some who are sick and they wish they could be this way. Amen. But praise be unto God. I know how it is. Chocolate melts in the rain. Amen. And so I understand. I understand. All right. If you're there, say amen. All right. You're in good voice. And it reads on this wise. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. And if therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore that light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And so for a few moments of our time, we just want to talk about what your giving says about you. What your giving says about you. Before you take your seats, let us go to God in prayer. Merciful God, our Father, we thank you and we praise you for the privilege and the opportunity of being able to come into the house of prayer just one more time. We thank you, Father God, that you woke us up this morning, that you put it in our hearts to come this way just one more time. We thank you, Father God, and we come prepared with eyes wide open, hearts well to receive that which you have for us this day. We thank you, Father God, for the word of God. We pray, Father God, that it would find a lodging place in our hearts and that it would produce fruit, some to be encouraged, some to be exhorted, and others still to come into a saving knowledge of you. We pray, Father God, that you would decrease me, that you would increase your Holy Spirit. Hide me behind the cross, Father God. My prayer is, Father God, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable unto you. Now, these and all other things we ask and do pray in Jesus' mighty name. And we all do say, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. What is it that your giving says about you? Now, all this month, I'm letting you know ahead of time, and maybe that might be one of the reasons why, you know, some folk kind of ducked out on us today. But this month, we're going to talk about stewardship. Amen. Now, I'm not going to tell you how much to give. I'm not going to tell you that you, if you give so much that this is going to happen for you or to you. I am not a prosperity gospel preacher. I just preach the word of God. And my bounds is the word of God. And because I am your pastor, I have an obligation to give you the whole counsel of God. Amen. Because just like when you got to stand before God, I have to stand for him before him as well. And God is going to hold me accountable for the things that I have done. And he's going to hold me accountable for the things that I should have done. And so I'm not going to be upset if you upset. Amen. Because I got to answer to somebody who is bigger than you, stronger than you, faster than you. He know where I live and know where to find me. Amen. But this month, we want to talk about stewardship. Now, you realize that your stewardship is more than just your money. It basically also encompasses your time, your talent, as well as your treasure. All these things that we can and do put into the service of God. God knows what it is that we have and what we are in charge of. And oftentimes, if you have been good with the things that he has blessed you with, he'll bless you with some more. You ever wonder why you haven't gotten the $1 million blessing that you've been asking for? Well, probably because you haven't done anything with the $20,000 blessing that he's blessed you with. You ever wonder why you haven't gotten the Mercedes that you want? Not that you necessarily need, but the Mercedes that you want? Because you haven't done anything with the Nissan that you got. I can't tell you how many souls that have prayed unto God, nobody here, but I can't tell you about all the souls that went out and said, Lord, if you bless me with this car, I will use it in your service. I'll go pick up people who are, can't get to church on their own. And Lord, I'll be quick and careful to give you all the praise. And they'll turn around and say, preacher, come out here and pray over my car. And so we'll go out and pray over the car, and that'll be the last time I see them and the car. The Lord has called us to be good stewards of what it is that he has given unto us. So this month, we really want to just talk about and spend time talking about what it is that the Lord requires of us, being stewards of what it is that he's given us. Now, there is a story that has been told about a young lady, and she was in a terrible car accident. Matter of fact, she died as a result of a car accident. And because it was a car accident and because someone died in the accident, of course, the police were called out. They conducted an investigation, and during the course of their investigation, they got to find out who this person was. And so as they begin to go through the contents of the car, they find a checkbook. And as they go through the person's checkbook, they discover her name. They discover her address, because usually all that is on the checkbook. I mean, I know some of my young people here, they probably don't know what a checkbook is. But those of us who are older, there used to be a joke, that said, I can't possibly be out of money because I still got checks. But some of us who are older know about checkbooks. We know about having to reconcile your checkbook. And so the officer, as he was going through the checkbook, he saw where she had written on a regular basis checks to a church. And so when he began to look at the dollar amounts that she wrote on these checks to the church, he began to wonder to himself, what is wrong with this woman? She writing these checks to this church? I got to meet the people on the other end of these checks. Certainly, he couldn't talk to her, but as officers will often do, they'll go to the next of kin. They'll go to the one residence that they know of, and then so they go to the officers go to the residence, and of course, they have to make what is called the notification to the next of kin. And so after, certainly the people were sad and certainly the people were upset. And then, once he felt comfortable, they were sad. He registered the fact that the family was sad and that they were in mourning for their loved one. But yet and still, there was something in him that he had to ask them, what was it about this woman that she was writing all these checks to the church? And so he got the moxie, the courage to just kind of like pull one of them aside and began to ask that that family member, well, look, as I was going through her belongings trying to figure out who she was, I see that she wrote all these checks to the church. Can you tell me why she did what she did? And so the family member took the opportunity to begin to witness to him about the goodness of Jesus Christ. And he began to explain to him that because she was a good steward of the money that she had, she paid her tithe. But not only did she pay her tithe, she would give an offering. And then on top of that, she would give of her time to the church. And come to find out that she was a Sunday school teacher, that she attended church every Sunday. And then Wednesday night when they had a Bible study, she was there as well. And so she supported the church with her time and with her talent and with her treasure. And so the officer began to hear all that and began to hear the compassion that was in that man's voice. And don't you know that as the story is told, that officer became saved. That officer believed in his heart. He confessed with his mouth right there, right then with that family while they were dealing with that tragedy. He then, because of her death and her checkbook, he became saved. All I'm telling you this morning is this. What is it about a checkbook that'll tell you something about what it is that you love? Don't you know that many of us, we could have that same testimony, but then many of us probably don't, because your checkbook tells a lot about you. So if you miss everything else this morning, I'm going to give you the one-sentence sermon, and if you remember the one-sentence sermon, you'll get all of what I'm about to tell you. If your checkbook was to testify, what would it say about you? If your checkbook were to testify, what would your checkbook say about you? Well, first of all, if we looked at your checkbook, it would tell you what types of investments you made. The Bible tells us, lay up not for yourself treasures upon the earth. He says, because where you lay your treasures here on earth, moths can come by and eat it. If your treasures are here on earth, rust can come by and corrupt it. And then if you got enough stuff and maybe you put it in self-storage, you know, the self-storage places get broken into all the time. And so thieves will break through and steal. But the suggestion that Jesus tells us is that don't lay up your treasures on earth, but lay up your treasures in heaven. There in heaven, there are no moths to eat up your clothes. There is no rust to rust your iron bars. There is nothing there in heaven that will corrupt. There in heaven, there are no thieves to break into anything and steal anything anywhere. So when you sow into the things of the world, you sow into carnal consumerism. You sow into carnal consumption. You sow into carnal commerce, which basically means that in the world of carnality, carnality is driven solely by what you can see, what you can feel, what you can taste, what you can touch. Basically, it's all driven by all five of your senses. Only your senses are only good for the things that are in this world. So you begin to understand why those who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, they go about trying to get all that they can get and then play the game that at the end of the game, he who has the most wins. But I've come by to let you know that at the end of the game, you got to talk to him who created all that is. And he will tell you that the earth is his and the fullness thereof. And so if it all belongs to him, why are you accumulating other people's stuff? Amen. Maybe you don't get it. So let me make it clear. There's no one who is ever satisfied with all the things of the world, because of the things of the world don't bring you any comfort, because the things of the world don't care. When was the last time you got sick and some money ran up on you and said, you all right? When was the last time that you were sick and you laid up in the bed and you couldn't eat for yourself that your Mercedes said, I'll go get you some soup? When was the last time that you were sick and you were alone and there was no one in the house and you said, well, you know, let me go grab my diamond ring to keep me company? Things of the world don't care. We always have an insatiable desire to want more. Anybody ever experienced this? It just seemed like the more money you make, the bigger in the hole you get. All right, I see one truth, two truths. Okay. Amen. I've been there too. But it seemed like the more that you made, the more that you owed. And you would think the inverse would be true, right? The more that you made, the more you would have in your pocket. Well, I've come by to tell you that carnally, you know, you can never have enough. You can never have enough. There's a man by the name of, or was by the name of, John D. Rockefeller. He was at one point one of the richest men on the earth. And so one time he's being interviewed by a reporter, and the reporter asked him, how much money is enough? And to which he responded, just a little bit more. I'll come by to let you know that people who are in the world, the wicked, believe that you can always have just a little bit more. Don't you know that there's no amount of money that will ever make you happy? There is nothing that you can have in your pockets that will make you happy, because what you're not looking for is happiness, but what you're truly looking for is joy, because happiness is a function of what happens to you. And so if something bad happens to you, then you ain't happy. But joy is a condition that stays with you, that when you ain't got nothing, you are content. When bad things happen, you are content. Joy is a condition that no matter what it is that you got in your pocket, no matter what it is that you're going through, no matter what it is that you have to deal with, joy. I have joy. God-given joy. Joy that money can't give you. Joy that nothing in the world can bring. Joy that I can only find in Jesus. But when you sow into the things of God, you sow into the things that are transcendent, those things which are eternal, those things which are ethereal. Now, you're sitting there going, boy, he sure used a whole bunch of 50-cent words. It's important to sow into these things because the world didn't give them to you, and the world can't take it away. If your joy is in the transcendent, that means that it's not of the earth, but it's from above. That means that only God could give it to you. And if God gives it to you, it ain't your job to keep it. If God gives it to you, it's God who's going to keep it for you. Maybe you didn't get it. If joy is what you want and peace is what you need, only God can give it to you, and then only God can help you to keep it. Maybe I need to make it plain. You can have peace when you don't have any food. You can have peace when your car is down. You can have peace when your coworker is riding you. You can have peace when that boss has said, you are going to do some overtime today, and you wanted to go home early because Junior got a basketball game. No, I'm sorry, you're going to miss that game, but you're going to get my work done. Guess what? You can still have joy, joy unspeakable. Why? Because the world didn't give it to you, and the world can't take it away. That's how come oftentimes you so worried about what it is that the world is doing to you as opposed to what it is that God has done for you. We look sometimes for the world to get off our back, but you realize that sometimes God allows the world to get on your back so you might realize the peace that you have in him, that you might realize the joy that you have in him, that you might realize that all that he has for you, he's already given you. How good a steward are you being? You're laying up your treasures in heaven. But not only are we talking about the transcendent, but also that which is eternal. Eternal simply means it's forever. You can have your joy. You can have your peace that surpasses all understanding eternally. And sometimes we don't realize what it is, what a blessing we have in God until we ain't got it. Sometimes God has to rescind some things for you to make you realize how good you got it. You ever had to deal with that? Sometimes you had a thing and you prayed, Lord, let me have this. Lord, just give me, matter of fact, Lord, just give me this car. I know the Nissan is running well. It's getting me where it needs to go. I know I can pay for the repairs, but God, I just want the Mercedes. I want the Mercedes and I want the big one. I want the big one and I want it so I can have people, so I can take people to church. I want the big Mercedes. And so you go, oh, hallelujah. You find you hook and crook away to go get the car. And so now you got it. Now it got to be serviced. And you realize that the service on the Mercedes is probably worth more than your running Nissan was. Amen. You done hooked and crooked your way, and now you can't sleep at night because now you're trying to worry about how I make the car payment and get it serviced. And so, and then you say, well, maybe I can cut back on what I eat. And so now you find yourself seriously grocery shopping and cutting coupons so you can eat. But you got that Mercedes. But some people would rather, what, fight than quit. Well, you don't realize how good you had it with the Nissan. But now you got that Mercedes, and now you're going to do everything you can to try and keep that Mercedes. Peace. But how much is a good night's sleep worth? How much is it to know that I can get to where I need to get to in a reliable car worth to you? How much is it worth to you to know that I can pay all my bills and have maybe a little bit left over to have fish on Friday? Don't laugh at me. Y'all in the same boat. Then those things which are ethereal, and essentially those things that you can't touch it, you can't handle it, it don't even exist on this realm. How many of you have joy? You ever touch joy? But you feel it. How many of you have contentment? Can you touch it? But you can feel it. How many of us have the assurance of salvation? You can't touch it. You can't feel it. You can't smell it. But you know it in your heart. These things have these three qualities. They're not of this world, but they can be found in the world. They are eternal. The things of the world mold, they decay, and they rust. Everything has a shelf life. Everything dies. But joy doesn't die. Peace doesn't die. God lives forever. Only that which is esteemed highly is allowed in the presence of the Lord, the eternal God. Those things which we are to lay up in heaven, they don't have a physical presence here, but they have a quality that can only be accessed through the heart. And now the thing that I realize that we can only handle them or deal with them through the heart, that means that these things exist in the presence of the Lord. Joy is in the presence of the Lord. Peace is in the presence of the Lord. Long suffering is in the presence of the Lord. You can have all these things. They're in the world, but they're not of the world. And the world can't take them from you. Not only will your checkbook tell you what type of investments you make, but it will tell you if your investments are strategic investments. Bible tells us that for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Oftentimes I hear people say, the Lord knows my heart. And yes, it's true. God knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. But he also, the Bible says this, that the heart is desperately wicked. No man can know it. But I propose that you can have a very good idea of where your heart is by looking at your checkbook. Because your checkbook tells me what you spend your money on. And if I can see what you spend your money on, then I know the condition of your heart. By the way, any of you who are looking for a husband or a wife, y'all look at what they spend their money on. All right, John. Y'all look at what, John is free. Y'all look at what they spend their money on. Amen. If he's spending it on and not on you, then, you know, you might want to rethink your drink. Amen. Y'all, some of y'all looking like, well, I ain't looking to marry no way. But look at what it is that they spend their money on. It's a strategic decision. People make the strategic decisions with their checkbook. If they have fine clothes and can't pay the light bill, that's a strategic investment. If they got a nice car but they can't make their rent, that's a strategic investment. If they got more month than they got money on a regular basis, that's a strategic investment on a regular basis. If they're buying lottery tickets and can't pay their tithe, that's a strategic investment. But where your heart is determines where your money goes. We strategically invest our time, our talent, and our treasure in those things that fill our heart. If your heart is in the wrong place, you'll spend your money in the wrong place. If your heart is dark, you'll go to some dark places and spend your green money. If your heart is in the light, you'll do some things that make your heart shine bright. Your checkbook will not only tell you what type of investments you make, it will not only tell you what type of strategic investments you will make, but then they will tell you about the return on your investment. Jesus talks about the light of the body, about the eye being the light of the body. And that word light, and also when he talks about the light being single, that means that if it's healthy, if your eyes are healthy, it'll bring light into the whole body. But your eyes have to be healthy. We be looking at some unhealthy things that dim the light of our eyes. Nobody here, right? Because everything you look at everything that you look at is happy, happy, and joy, joy. Everything you do is Hosanna and hallelujah. Everything you watch on TV is on like the 300 channels, right? Y'all don't watch the channels between channel 2 and channel 360, right? That's on DirecTV. I don't know what the rest of y'all watch. Amen. But what you feed that light determines how bright that light is going to be. He also gives us the contrast. He says, if yet I be evil, then the whole body will be full of darkness. If that light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? If all you looking at is darkness, then all you'll want to do is darkness. Amen. That's why Pastor can't go everywhere you go. That's why y'all be asking, like, well, Pastor, can you come over and do such and such? I'm like, okay, well, let me do some fruit watching. And then I may make a determination as to whether or not I'm going to hang out with you. But all of y'all good people. I'd be happy to go wherever you, I won't say wherever you go, but I'm going to go on this side. I'm going to be happy to go wherever y'all want to go over here. Not too sure about this side. The deacons are on this side. But the point is that we got to guard what comes into our hearts, into our minds, because that also determines upon our stewardship. Our obedience to the word of God gets you a ticket to the old ship of Zion. The Bible says it, not the Bible, but there is a song that says that it has landed many a thousand on heaven's golden shore. But when you invest in the kingdom of God and all of its righteousness, all other things will be added unto you. When you invest into the kingdom of God, the return of your investment is that the wicked will cease from troubling you. When you invest in the kingdom of God, your return on your investment is that there is a peace of God that surpasses all understanding. When you invest in the kingdom of God, there'll come a time where your investment will come due, just like your CD does. And at some point in time when you have to cash in your CD, they'll give you your return on your investment. Well, I've come by to let you know this morning that at some great grand morning, God is going to call your name. And if you've believed in your heart, if you've confessed with your mouth, the Lord Jesus Christ, the return of your investment will be that you'll be called into heaven. You'll be in his presence forevermore, which means that every day will be hallelujah. Every morning, hosanna. You'll be in his presence forevermore. That means there'll be no more crying. That means there'll be no more tears. The Bible says he'll wipe away every tear, and then give you the oil of rejoicing. All you have to do is make a proper investment. Well, preacher, what is that proper investment? Well, I'm glad that you asked, because y'all asked all the right questions. Your proper investment you need to make, your initial investment to get the proper rate of return, is simply this: that you believe in your heart, that you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that you shall be saved. You don't have to go anywhere else. You don't have to do anything else. Just simply believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, and you shall be saved. That means that now your CD, your return on your investment, will be that one day when you die, when you won't have to wonder whether or not you'll see his face, but you'll see his face in heaven forevermore. Let me just finish with this, and I'm going to take my seat. You may build cathedrals, large or small. You can build skyscrapers, grand and tall. You may conquer all failures of the past, but only what you do for Christ will last. Remember, only what you do for Christ will last. You might seek earthly power and fame. The world might be impressed by your great name. Soon the glories of this life will all be passed, but only what you do for Christ will last. What does your checkbook say about you? What type of investments are you making? Are your investments strategic investments? And then what is your expected return on your investment? I'm done. The word of God has gone forward.